from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, approximately 15 minutes in length, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we have the great privilege of talking about this awful three-game series against the New York Yankees. The Giants lost all three games and were outscored 24-12 in the series. We are going to look at the game notes for all three games and the crucial points from them. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to look closer at a crucial decision that was made in the Saturday game, one that Bruce Bochy felt the need to essentially apologize for. So with the three losses, the Giants' record has become an ugly 11 wins and 17 losses, and because they were outscored by 12 runs in the series, their run differential fell all the way to minus 20, which has an expected win-loss record of 11 and 17, so right where they are, and it is last in the National League West, seven games behind the first-place Dodgers, and it is also the second-worst record in all of the National League, so it's looking like the same story from the last couple of years as well. The Giants simply are not on par, seemingly, with the rest of the league. In the first game of the series, Madison Bumgarner got battered around a little bit. He threw five and two-thirds innings, and allowed five runs on 11 hits. I believe it was the most hits he had allowed in a start in a long time. So he was very hittable. I did like the fact that the Giants brought the infield in the first inning with a runner on third and one out. You don't just concede a run in the first inning, I'm sorry, but a run is a run and there's never really a good time to give one away. I get it if you're winning like 10-1 and there's a runner on third and no outs, you definitely don't play the infield in and at that point. But in a 0-0 game in the first inning, there's no reason to not bring the infield in with a runner on third and one out. Melanson gave up a couple of runs in this game. They were the first runs he's allowed this season. It came on a home run. Also in this game, Pablo Sandoval played first base and Brandon Belt played left field. They have to decide if that's worth it, and it very much was not worth it in this game because Brandon Belt made a couple of poor defensive plays in left field, and he's one of the better first baseman defensively in all of the National League and in all of baseball, really. In left field, I would say that's probably not the case. He definitely did not look comfortable out there, and it cost the Giants some bases in this game. On Saturday, the Giants lost 6-4. Derek Holland started this game, and he allowed six runs in five innings. And this is something we're going to want to focus on a lot more in the second half. The decision to let Holland face a couple of really tough righties coming up the third time through the order with all kinds of traffic out there on the bases in a close game. And so Holland stayed out there against Luke Voit and Gary Sanchez, and a game that was 1-0 before those two batters came up became 6-0 after those two batters had batted, with a hit by pitch and a grand slam by Gary Sanchez that went pretty much over the bleachers, and that was just a foreshadow of things to come on Sunday. So the bullpen in the Saturday game went four innings and did not allow any runs. On Sunday, Derek Rodriguez started, and he was very hittable as well. He was only able to go three innings, and he allowed six runs, four of which were earned. The bullpen allowed five runs in six innings. So all around, the Giants' pitching in this series very much could not handle the diminished New York Yankees, who came into town with all these injuries and a lineup of mostly names that most people probably don't even know. Gary Sanchez hit his second monster home run of the series in this game, and the Giants lost 11-5. So as I said, they were outscored 24-12 in the series. That's an average of 8-4 in each game. And so I know there was a lot of talk early on about how the formula is just score four and then you win automatically, but they actually averaged four runs a game in this series and they lost all three games. So it's not quite that simple. They scored four runs or more in two of the three games and they lost them both. I know a lot of those runs came in garbage time. Like in the Saturday game, the Giants scored a bunch of runs in the ninth inning when the game was already well in hand, but still. That being said, there's no doubt that they're absolutely struggling offensively. And I found some ugly numbers over the weekend doing some research. Like, their 1-4 batters for the last couple of seasons have been 11% below average compared to all batters in both the National League and American League. I say 11%, but that's for all batters. So 1-4 batters, the median is 10% above average offensively, but the Giants 1-4 batters have been 11% below average. So really it's more like 20% below the average 1-4 hitters. The Giants were outscored 4-1 in the first inning in this series, so that continued to be an issue for them. They gave up runs in the first inning in two of the three games. And then in the first three innings, in innings 1-3, the Giants were outscored 10-1. So it was actually pretty close after the first three innings. So they continue to have serious struggles scoring early in games and preventing runs early in games, especially the first inning. And I continue to say an opener makes a ton of sense for this team. The Yankees have a very right-handed lineup, and it would have been a perfect time to exploit that with some relief pitchers who are tough on right-handed hitters. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya. With their personally curated playlists and new features every day, download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to look closer at that crucial decision by Bruce Bochy to allow Derek Holland to face a couple of extremely dangerous right-handed hitters when it was the third time through the lineup. So that's all coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about the decision by Bruce Bochy that he felt the need to apologize for, or say, you know, take the blame for, in the fifth inning with Derek Holland on the mound. He had only allowed one run on four hits entering the inning. It started with two singles to lead off the inning. J. Happ bunted, but the Giants got the force out at third base. And then up comes the top of the order for the third time. And the top of the order for the Yankees goes LeMahieu, Voit, Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres. So these are all right-handed batters against the left-handed Holland with runners all over the place. It was first and second with one out when the top of the order came back up. And Holland, again, had only allowed one run in the game. So then when he walks DJ LeMahieu, I think at that point, so Trevor Gott was up and warming in the bullpen. He was ready to come in. So at that point, when Derek Holland walks the bases loaded, it just seemed like a very obvious time to go get the relief pitcher. But having watched Bruce Bochy so much over the years, I'm conditioned to believe he doesn't have that early trigger. He's not going to bring in the righty. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with getting the starting pitcher through five innings and being able to qualify for a win. And there's nothing more pointless than trying to get a pitcher a quote-unquote win for them. It's not a team win. It's a win stat for the pitcher. It has nothing to do with the team actually winning. I mean, it does. You can't get one unless the team wins. You don't manage optimally when you're trying to get the pitcher the win, because in order to get it, they have to complete five innings. Derek Holland is an interesting case because he was good early in his career, and then he was really, really bad right before coming to the Giants, and then he was pretty solid last year. So I didn't want to look at like career numbers because it's too large of a sample. It like some of it is too long in the past that we shouldn't even look at it. But then looking at the last like 3 years, it's kind of skewed by the fact that he was really, really bad the last year or two before coming to the Giants. So we're just going to look at his Giants track record because there is a semi-significant amount of data for this. And that's Derek Holland, third time through the order, just in general, but specifically against right-handed batters because that's who was coming up. So Holland has faced 135 batters the third time through the order who have been right-handed as a Giant. And in those 135 plate appearances, batters are hitting .257 with a .383 on base percentage and a .514 slugging percentage. So that all comes out to a .376 weighted on base average, which, as we have discussed numerous times, is like a really robust offensive metric that says a lot about what batters are doing in terms of getting on base and doing damage. So a .376 weighted on base average last season, there were only a handful of players who had that or better on the entire year. One guy who had that for the year was Bryce Harper. Someone who was just a tick above it was Manny Machado. And we're also looking in the realm of Freddie Freeman, Anthony Rendon, Matt Carpenter, Jesus Aguilar, Joey Votto. Like, these are some of the best offensive players in baseball. And that's essentially what right-handed batters against Holland the third time through the order have become. But so anyway, he hits Luke Voit. And then you're thinking, okay, well, then he definitely should be coming out now. But he stays out there, so it's 2-0. Here comes Gary Sanchez, extremely dangerous, tons of power, and he hits a grand slam on a 1-2 pitch, and a game that was 2-0 becomes 6-0. So the game was lost right then and there in the fifth inning, and it could have been prevented. Trevor Gott, in a tiny sample against right-handed hitters as a Giant, and we shouldn't be doing this, but he's another guy who became really good. He seems to have changed. This year with the Giants, he was not as good in the past, and he is doing well. It's not just about preventing runs. There are some strong indicators across the board that he is a changed pitcher, so I don't want to skew our data by looking at his track record necessarily. But with the Giants against right-handed hitters, he is allowing a .212 weighted on base average. That's a .176 batting average, .237 on base, .235 slugging. So night and day difference between that and what the situation was for Holland. So really, Bochy knows it, and there's really no excuse for it. Like, there's really no justification for that, except that you don't want to, like, disrespect your starting pitcher. And it cost them a game. I mean, they might have very well lost that game anyway, but the game was over when that happened. And so if it's that high of a leverage situation where one hit can just end the game for you, essentially, I would argue that you need to do what's right and go to someone who's better equipped for that situation. And like I said, Bochy knows it. He said after the game that he should have brought in Gott. Talk is one thing at this point. The Giants' season is kind of slipping away here at 11-17. I get it. It's super early, but they're not a really good team that can rebound from a big hole. Like, they're a team that needs to get hot and have a Cinderella type of season if they have any kind of visions of doing well this year. So if they fall far behind, like, there's essentially no chance that they're going to come back, and they're going to have to start trading away people, and it's Bochy's last year and he doesn't want that. So this type of thing, like, you got to go out with pressing all the right buttons, and that type of move just can't really work anymore. And I do continue to think that being creative with trying openers would really be something that worth trying for a team that needs to live on the margins like the Giants do, because they're just not that talented of a roster. But there's no time to dwell on that. The Giants will welcome in the Dodgers for 3 games the next 3 days. We will be back with you for another episode on Tuesday. You can subscribe on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's rational and data-driven, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspik. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.